Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Be prepared. It's what the federal government should be before a global pandemic. And it also happens to be the motto of the Girl Scouts, be prepared. While you can prepare for a lot of things in life, it's hard to prepare to be suddenly homeless, which is exactly what happened to one Queens family that was thrown into the city shelter system a few years back. But while there, Giselle Burgess and her daughters started the first ever Girl Scout troop for homeless girls. It's a wonderful story. The troop was dubbed Troop 6000, and the program has now expanded from one shelter to 20 in New York City and ultimately to more across the country. With me now is New York Times Metro reporter Nikita Stewart. She first reported on the troop in 2017, and she now has a book about it called Troop 6000, the Girl Scout troop that began in a shelter and inspired the world. Hi, Nikita. Welcome back to WNYC.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Can you start off by introducing everyone to Giselle Burgess and her family? How did they end up homeless?
Sure. You know, in reporting this book, I really had to go back and look at 2015. That's when I took on the beat of social services and poverty at the New York Times. And I was getting my feet wet and I was going everywhere and anywhere. And Councilmember Jimmy Van Bramer of Queens was hosting this Thanksgiving lunch for women at a shelter in his district. And I went and I was surprised when I got there because I saw all these Girl Scouts serving turkey and dressing to these elderly women. And I was so moved that day. And I didn't write a story. I just wanted to see what the shelter looked like. And, you know, then I had the added benefit of meeting a few Girl Scouts. And one of the families, you know, some sisters and their mother, Giselle Burgess. And I had no idea that the next year they would also become homeless. And in 2017, you know, they started this troop in the shelter where they were living. And it really hit home that anyone can become homeless. And it's can be a cruel world out there, but they were resilient and gave the most of themselves at a time when they had the least.
And so where did the idea of starting a Girl Scout troop for homeless girls come from?
Well, Giselle Burgess happened to work for the Girl Scouts. She had finally landed a dream job after years of working in a dental office and different dental offices. She had medical issues that made it difficult for her to work. She was unemployed and she ended up getting a job at the Girl Scouts after volunteering with the Girl Scouts. But all of those medical bills, unpaid rent, that previous unemployment caught up with her. And even though she had a full-time job, she and her family had to enter New York City's shelter system. And when she was at the hotel, turned into a shelter, she realized that the girls didn't really have much of a childhood living in a shelter. There are no sleepovers in the shelter. There's no going to each other's rooms. That's not allowed. And she decided that maybe she could start a shelter in, start a Girl Scout troop in that shelter. And all of these people were in place to help her make that happen. And it's an incredible story.
New York Times Metro reporter Nikita Stewart with us. Her new book is Troop 6000, the Girl Scout troop that began in a shelter and inspired the world. An interesting historical point that you make is that Giselle talks about how she initially associated Girl Scouts with whiteness, but that she quickly learned that the organization has blackness at its core. Can you talk a little bit about the racial history of the group and what it's meant to black folks over the years in addition to white folks?
Yeah, well, you know, the Girl Scouts, like any longtime organization, has, you know, an interesting history. Juliet Gordon Lowe, her family actually made a lot of its money through slavery and cotton in Georgia. But she really broke traditions, and she strongly believed in creating an organization that was for everyone. And very quickly, the organization had Black members. That doesn't mean that they were welcome everywhere, but they certainly were welcome in the early days in some troops. And through the years, the organization really evolved to be very inclusive, so much so that, you know, it had its first Black president in the 1970s. And even during the Civil Rights Movement, Martin Luther King Jr. Called the organization, you know, this kind of champion for diversity and for civil rights.
Where'd the name Troop 6000 come from? Why'd Giselle name it that?
Well, it's funny because a lot of people don't exactly remember where the name came from. It's just that everyone was having a discussion about, well, what should we call this troop? Because in New York City, there are five boroughs, and the troop names correspond to your boroughs. So you're the 1,000s or the 2,000s or the 3,000s, 4,000s, 5,000s. And so what do you do about a troop that is located in Queens, but the girls come from everywhere? And so, you know, it's almost like this shadow borough of children who are homeless, who you see every day, but you don't know that they're homeless. And so someone remembered, oh, the 6,000s used to be used for like special troops. And they're like, why don't we just call it Troop 6000? And it stuck. And it has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? And,
it does. And now it's
this badge of honor.
And it also makes a point about homelessness. If the five boroughs are each named 1,000 through 5,000, and this is for homeless girls, and yes, it's in Queens, as you say, but they don't actually have homes in any of the boroughs, Troop 6000, it's also a very, very poignant and meaningful name to take. So what kinds of activities did Troop 6000 do in their meetings, and how is that different from the activities that would take place in a Girl Scout meeting, not in a homeless shelter?
Look, the meetings are very much the same as any other meeting. It's just that where they are, it's temporary. And so Troop 6000 girls do everything that any other Girl Scout does, from going camping, one of my personal favorites to tag along on. You know, there's nothing like seeing a girl eat her first s'more or make her first s'more and canoeing for the first time and running away from bees and listening to crickets and not wanting to go to sleep when they're supposed to be going to sleep and they've had a very long day. You know, those are all of the childhood memories that, you know, adults can remember, you know, going on those camping trips during the summer, and that Troop 6000 has provided that same experience for so many girls. It's just very heartening.
Did they sell Girl Scout cookies?
Well, eventually. In the beginning, all the girls wanted to know, well, okay, I know the Girl Scouts because they sell cookies. So when are we selling cookies? And it wasn't that easy for girls experiencing homelessness and living in a shelter. You can't solicit door-to-door in a shelter. And, you know, that just wasn't going to work. And so the first year, there was a frustration about, okay, how are we going to sell these cookies? How can we let the girls have the full experience of being a Girl Scout and participate in that entrepreneurship? And so finally, a year after the troop had formed Kellogg's store that was in Union Square opened its doors. And boy, when the Girl Scouts showed up, when Troop 6000 showed up, they sure did show out for that first cookie sale. I mean, the lines were down the block just through word of mouth. And, you know, the girls were worried, like, oh, are we going to sell, you know, how many cookies could we possibly sell? What if we don't do well at this? And to sell more than 30,000 boxes of cookies was incredible. And, of course, all of the money went back to the troop.
Listeners, if you're just joining us, we have a few minutes left with New York Times Metro reporter Nikita Stewart on her wonderful new book, Troop 6000, the Girl Scout troop that began in a shelter and inspired the world. That homeless shelter is in Queens, in case you didn't hear the beginning of that. Inspired the world. Can I ask, is this just an inspiring story, or does it also remind us of the ways in which the system is so often not working for people? By that I mean, why can't the government provide more programs like this for all homeless children? Why does it take a feel-good human interest story of an individual who stepped up to emphasize what should already be obvious, which is at-risk children deserve all of the privileges and opportunities as any other child?
Yeah, and, you know, that is the question, and it was something that Gisele Burgess and other parents grappled with, and even the girls grappled with during all of the fanfare and the fame and going on TV. You know, it's like, do people want us to be poor to care about us? What's incredible about Troop 6000 is that it took people in high places who had experienced some of the same things to help make this happen. It takes people who have experienced the same hardships, who know how mistakes can turn into mountains, and you need those people to be in government to help carry out policies that can help the most vulnerable people whose wages can't keep up with high rents and the high cost of living. You know, I strongly believe that if certain people had not been in place, Troop 6000 would not have happened. And that also goes for the parents and the girls who just really believed in community and being a part of something that was bigger than themselves, even when they had nothing and were at one of the lowest points in their lives. And I'm so glad to bring a story to readers where the parents and girls themselves, they empowered themselves. And then the people in power, if you will, followed them and helped them. I'm getting teary just thinking about it right now. But I think it's important, too, for the public to understand and for readers to leave this book. You know, people aren't perfect, and poor people aren't perfect. And there is this tendency to want people to, you know, to be these perfect beings who make no mistakes, and the world doesn't work that way. And they certainly, you know, shouldn't be punished when there is this lopsided economy that makes, you know, mistakes and missteps turn into these obstacles for people.
It's a whole separate conversation that we could have for a whole segment. And we've talked about it on this show in other contexts, that when we're talking about marginalized people of any kind, frequently, in order for them to be seen as deserving by society at large, if you want to call it that, they kind of have to be perfect. Because if they have any flaws, then it's like, oh, well, why are we spending on benefits for them? But they're just flawed like any other people. And they shouldn't have to be perfect in order to deserve people's attention and to deserve the same rights as anybody else. To kind of to that point, and we're going to run out of time soon, but there's another subplot in here that kind of goes to the risks of being famous, because I see how the girls of Troop 6000 got on TV and other media a lot once you first reported the story. And at one point in your book, you write, the scouts were becoming more unappreciative. Can you go there a little bit?
Yes. Well, you know, Giselle felt that they were becoming unappreciative. And, you know, I talk about, you know, in the book, how she was caught up a little bit in her own respectability politics. She didn't want anyone to look down on them. And she wanted them to be gracious. And so, you know, but at the same time, she also realized that you can be thankful and you can be deserving of all of the attention. You know, there are just a lot of mixed emotions and mixed feelings. And I didn't hold back in reporting that in the book. And I just hope readers come away with, you know, having empathy for these girls and their families, and also understanding how homelessness can happen to anyone. And also remember that homelessness is not just about being in a shelter. We have thousands and thousands of children who are living in overcrowded apartments. And, you know, after the pandemic, you're probably going to see thousands of more families enter shelter. And the policymakers and elected officials of the city are going to have to be ready.
Thanks for telling this inspiring story. You know, we had scheduled this interview before the COVID era, because we knew when your book was coming out, and we decided to stick with it because people need to talk about other things besides COVID-19, and your book is such a wonderful turn to take for these few minutes of the show. So New York Times Metro reporter Nikita Stewart, her book is called Troop 6000, the Girl Scout Troop That Began in a Shelter and Inspired the World. Thanks, Nikita. We'll keep reading you in the paper.
Thank you so much, Brian.